This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions can be sent to us via radio program at AOL.com. We'll put them in the hopper for answering on one of our weekday podcasts, and every week we field as many questions as we can. With us today, Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. How you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, how are you doing?
Very, very, very good. However, it is a very gloomy, one of those overcast, drizzly, cold December days on the way to Christmas. And so I'm sitting here in my studio is in my apartment here in Midtown Manhattan. And I'm sitting here and the entire apartment is suffused with the wonderful aroma of spices and garlic, because I've got a 5-pound free-range organic pasture-fed chicken in the oven cooking, and so I'm getting a little aromatherapy to kind of lift my spirits on this
wonderful
gray day. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, anything in the
comfort.
News?
Comfort. It's like it's self nurture. It's comfort.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like when the elements are hostile, you know, create a little warmth. So anything in the news that you want to discuss before we get into questions?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, there's not a lot of big, I mean, there are a lot of news stories that are making the rounds this week. One of the interesting, you know, I wake up, I start looking at Facebook, and I saw on Facebook an entry that said, Dr. Sinatra's top docs physician referral list. And, you know, Dr. Stephen Sinatra, good colleague of mine, America's premier
integrative
cardiologist. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, we featured him on many a podcast. And we actually carry his column from time to time on our website at drhoffman.com. Yeah. He kindly consents to allow us to reprint some of his insights about health and cardiology. And so, of course, my curiosity was perked by that. And I looked at his directory, Dr. Sinatra's top docs physician referral list, and I'm happy to say that we made the list, which is great.
Yeah, terrific, so, terrific.
And you know, of course,
right,
a mutual admiration society. I really admire the pioneering work that Dr. Sinatra has done. Dr. Sinatra is spending a lot of time doing research and writing, and he has a little less time to see patients. And occasionally, we'll see patients who make their way to the Hoffman Center. Who've been referred by Dr. Sinatra, so that's great.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm often touting Dr. Sinatra's advice on, you know, some of the healthiest micronutrients for the heart, magnesium, CoQ10, ribose.
Yeah, he's
just
really
to
helped.
Name a few.
He's really helped define the field of integrative cardiology, so I was pleased to see that. So let's just launch into questions. What do we got this week?
Okay, we've got an email from Jeanette. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. My mother is 86 years young, very, very healthy, aerobics 3 times a week. Fantastic.
Wow. Excellent.
She started strontium, took it for 5 years when you discussed it on the radio. Her doctor was amazed how her bone density numbers changed for the better.
Beautiful.
Well, it's been 1 year since she stopped strontium, and is having a lot of hip bone pain and was wondering if she should begin it again.
Okay. Well, so let's discuss strontium as a treatment for osteoporosis. So, you know, this is something that I stumbled on about 10, 12 years ago. And strontium has really created a breakthrough for many of our patients who, you know, excuse the pun, a breakthrough for osteoporosis. I can't help myself, can I? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's think of another word. It's a home run for osteoporosis.
It's a home run.
Right.
A revelation.
It's a smashing success. No, that's not good either. It's not. Okay. You know, it's like break a leg.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay. So anyway, so strontium has really been very successful for many of our patients. And, you know, there has been actually some concerns have been raised about strontium. So I actually will take the opportunity here to address some of these. First of all, it works really well to enhance bone density. But some radiologists and some conventional osteoporosis experts push back on that. And they say, oh, you know, what it does is it just makes the bones seem brighter on the test, which is an artificial thing. And it doesn't
illumination
really,
like?
Yeah, right. It makes so it fixes the test, but it doesn't necessarily make the bones stronger. In fact, there's some people who claim that it may make rumors that it may increase bone fragility. And so I'm quoting here from a really excellent review article on strontium that I want to invite the author of this article onto one of our podcasts to kind of clarify the strontium situation. The article is entitled "Strontium Citrate Demonstrates Its Safety and Effectiveness." And what it says here is that there has been some concern in the past few years that strontium may eventually increase the risk of fractures by reducing tensile strength of the bone. That's the ability of bone to resist pulling forces. Now, parenthetically, I will say that that has been a concern that's been raised with some of the conventional drugs, because the conventional drugs do make bone appear stronger. But there's a diminishing returns on these medications, that the longer you use them, the more there is an increase in a decrease in fractures overall, but an increase in what are called pathological fractures, which means the bone's brittle. And these are atypical fractures, what are called spiral fractures, which may mean that, you know, you just step off the curb and all of a sudden snap, you know, without even a lot of pressure.
From taking the bisphosphonates like Fosamax the others.
So what they say here, this concern has been caused by a single article that claimed that strontium accumulates more so in the thicker outer portion of the bone, the cortical bone, rather than the inner matrix or the cancellous bone that is most affected by osteoporosis. In theory, this would increase the risk for breakage. However, a brief review of several studies will show us that this theory has been disproven. In fact, the opposite has been shown to be true, with several long-term human studies showing good safety and effectiveness. And they say that a review of strontium's effects on bone architectural structure found that overall strontium works. Several studies found that blood indicators of bone formation increased by 8%, while markers of bone deterioration decreased by about 12%. I think what these markers may, at least one of them, is a test that we do at the Hoffman Center. It's the so-called NTX test. It's the test that measures the breakdown of bone in the urine. And that test, you can do that sometimes to get a heads up between bone densities. When you don't want to do a bone density that frequently, you can do a urine test to see if the therapy is working. They say bone samples, because they actually studied bone, showed a 14% increase in trabecula number. Trabecula are the little tiny chambers within bone that actually increase bone strength, and a 16% decrease in trabecular separation. So these are measures of the quality of the cancellous bone, or the internal bone, not the external cortex of the bone. There was also an 18% increase in cortical thickness, by the way. So this shows that strontium positively affects both the inner and outer bone structure. And they found that for every 1% increase in bone density, there was a 3% reduced risk of a fracture of the spine. The longest study to date examined the effect of strontium ranelate when used continuously for 10 years. That's a drug that's used in Europe.
Yes, and which is different from strontium citrate.
Yeah, which is what we use.
Yes.
And what they found is that bone mineral density continued to increase every year over the 10 years, and the incidence of fracture was maintained at the end of the study compared to the earlier years. And no bisphosphonate has had the same long-term measure of success. So actually, this here's an example. You know, often in integrative medicine, you know, we have therapies that are milder, gentler, maybe a little less dramatically effective than conventional drugs, but at least they're safer. So, for example, an example of that might be curcumin for osteoarthritis. I mean, if you take an Advil, you're going to get a reduction in pain within hours. However, long-term Advil has many harmful effects. If you take curcumin, you're going to say, gee, you know, I just took curcumin this morning. I'm still experiencing pain. It's not working like, you know, something that I can buy at a drugstore. However, curcumin may more fundamentally affect inflammation in a positive way over time. And many longer-term studies show that there's comparable effects of curcumin to Advil, but it's not just dramatic. Another example might be statin drugs and red yeast rice. Statin drugs can dramatically lower cholesterol. You can take a really high dose of statins and lower your cholesterol, you know, 60, 80, 100 points. If you take red yeast rice, you might see a more subtle effect, you know, 5, 10, 15%. But here's an example with osteoporosis where strontium actually, and I hate to use this word again, trumps the effects of traditional prescription bisphosphonates. It actually is more effective in terms of its effect on bone density, as well as reducing the risk of fracture. So also there was a little bit of concern raised because the Europeans have issued a caution about their strontium medication, strontium ranelate. And strontium ranelate is the patent drug over there. Here we use strontium citrate. It doesn't seem there's a particularly strong reason for using ranelate over citrate other than it's patentable and citrate is not. So the strontium is the
and
business
end of this. And that's a reason for pharmaceutical companies, certainly. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, they say here that strontium ranelate has been associated with, but not necessarily as the cause of, rare cases of gastrointestinal disturbances, minor skin rashes, blood clots, and very rarely in memory loss. So that raises a concern. Could strontium cause these problems? But what they found was that in recent studies using strontium citrate for 1 year, there were no adverse effects of any kind, either self-reported or from blood samples. So it appears that it may be the ranelate that is the problem in Europe, if indeed it's a problem, because it's actually a very, very rare complication. What I'm doing these days is patients who have a really high risk of blood clots, I don't give them strontium just based on the European experience, because now people, you know, our audience is very astute. And they hear something, you know, like, oh, there could be a negative side effect. They're very fearful. But there's no reason to suspect that strontium citrate causes blood clots in people who are not prone to blood clots to begin with, and maybe not at all. So there's a couple of new things on that. So coming back to this question, should she resume because she's having hip pain? Well, you know, hip pain could be the result. You can have perfectly strong bones and have hip pain, especially at 86. And is it the result?
It could be arthritis.
It could be arthritis. And there's a little bit of literature that suggests that strontium reduces pain in arthritis, so that might be a reason to take strontium, but it's not necessarily going to help this hip pain. The hip pain could also be, you know, a torn, you know, synovial membranes within the hip, you know, so, and that's something that, not just 86-year-olds experience, but football players and baseball players have this. You know, A-Rod, the Yankee slugger, had severe hip pain. And it wasn't necessarily arthritis. It was a torn labrum of the hip. You know, a labrum is it's that collagenous material that goes between the ball and socket in the hip.
Uh-huh. So Jeanette's mother should probably take it easy on the aerobics that she does three times a week.
Right. I mean, that is potentially a concern.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's great. You know, we love it. But maybe something more gentle, maybe some yoga, as I'm mm-hmm. undertaking. There was a very popular article I wrote. It resonated for a lot of people a couple of weeks ago when I wrote
article,
about my own experiences with yoga, excuse me.
With yogurt.
Right.
Anyhow. So, considering that this is some inflammation that's going on, you know, some kind of itis or arthritis or something like that, what you mentioned earlier, curcumin, maybe mm-hmm. taking some fish oil or increasing fish oil,
yep.
Boswellan, Caprex.
Yep. Caprex, which is a hops-derived compound. Not too many people have heard of it, mm-hmm. but it's a product that we stock at drhoffman.com. It's made by Metagenics. And hops is anti-inflammatory. There's no question. It's maybe why there may be benefits to drinking hops-rich beer for inflammation.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah?
Yeah. Ostanol, Dr. Hoppen, what would you say about ostanol for this hip pain?
Well, ostanol, good for osteoporosis, potentially good for osteoarthritis. So mm-hmm. that's a plausible supplement. You know, glucosamine with chondroitin sometimes can help unless the problem is too far gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh.
But it could be just a biomechanical issue, you know, where that mm-hmm. level of stress on the joint due to aerobic exercise, you know, I'm not 86, 87?
86,
There are times where I'll say, you know, I'm a little played out on running. I'm a little sore, and it's time mm-hmm. to pull back, because if I just go no pain, no gain and push right through it, I'm going to push myself into a serious injury. If there's a certain age where that principle becomes counterproductive, you know, that real determination to push through pain thresholds can be deleterious. I mean, in younger athletes,
right.
maybe that's an operating principle, but for
seniors.
I think
pain is a message. I believe pain is a message from the body saying, maybe a little too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to exercise, really, I do.
I mean, I had a bit of a period, which I'm coming out of, where, you know, I was virtually exercising 5-6 days a week, and, you know, swimming, biking, running, and I was on a tear. And last week, I just suddenly felt like, I think I just need to do some gentle yoga. I just need to, you know, I just am not feeling it. And, you know, I think my body is sending me a message. So I baited, took some hot Epsom salt baths, and I'm working my way out of it. I had a very good yoga session
Wonderful.
This morning, and I think I'm
Wonderful.
Moving into a recovery zone from some of those. You know, I think the body sometimes
right.
consolidates, and you know, when that's okay, you let it consolidate, mm-hmm. let it heal, let it rest, and then you can push on.
Right, right. Jeanette, probably a great idea for your mother to get her hip pain checked out to rule out anything.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, taking it easy on the exercise, maybe doing yoga instead, as Dr. Hoffman just mentioned, and then, you know, the supplements to reduce the inflammation. That would be beneficial.
Yep.
Yeah. But best of luck to your mother, and thank you very much for your email.
Yep.
Okay.
Good one.
All right. We've got an email from Judy, who writes, I've been trying to get my homocysteine down. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions. 3 years ago, my homocysteine was a 10.2. I started taking methyl guard plus one a day and a B complex one a day. I've been taking these for about 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm heterozygous for the mutation C 677T and A1298C.
Okay.
The MTHFR, right.
Mm-hmm.
My latest blood test shows my homocysteine went up to a 10.8 from a 10.2. How can I lower my number?
Yeah.
And I come from a family that has blood clots. I've had two, and I'm on Coumadin.
Oh, okay. All right, so a little complicated. So let's, you know, there's a lot of aspects to that question. And so, you know, homocysteine is something that can be a risk factor for blood clots. It can be a risk factor for cerebrovascular disease and dementia. So we'd like to get it down. There's some controversy as to whether it predisposes to heart disease. And so, you know, based on one single study where they tried to lower homocysteine with B vitamins, they didn't see a reduction in heart disease. So a lot of doctors are saying homocysteine doesn't count anymore. I think that's, you know, premature conclusion. But, you know, we'd like to see homocysteine ideally 6 or 7. We can lower homocysteine with what's called methyl donors, which include B6 and not so much folic acid. We prefer to use folate and methylated B12, which is methylcobalamin. And there's a nice supplement called Methyl Guard, which is pretty successful at lowering homocysteine for many of my patients. There can be some blockage in terms of the metabolism due to genetics. And this person has a double mutation of the genes that determine methylation. By the way, I see some patients who have normal homocysteine when they have this. So it's not entirely...
That's right.
You know, it's not entirely guaranteed.
A high homocysteine, let's dispel the myth. A high homocysteine is not a clue that you may have this mutation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen enough people with absolutely normal and even low homocysteine who have this mutation.
Right. But so, we will see, for example, if we saw a patient recently the other day that her B12 was lousy, it was like 200, her homocysteine was 12 or 14, and we just gave her Methyl Guard, one capsule twice daily, and boom, the next time her homocysteine was, I don't know, 7 or 8. So it normalized nicely. Some patients who have hereditary high homocysteine, it can be as high as, you know, 20 or more, require truly heroic doses of methylating agents. I tend to go a little higher on DMG. I'm sorry, TMG, trimethylglycine,
TMG,
which is
trimethylglycine, yes.
Which is also known as betaine.
I also want to mention, Judy is only taking one Methyl Guard Plus per day. The optimal dose would be 2.
Or even, you know, sometimes you double up and take 4. Some people get a little hyper or agitated with all those B vitamins, and that we have to sometimes watch out for. But, you know, so, you know, there...
But the additional, the addition of trimethylglycine...
Mm-hmm. Which you can just take as
and
a separate thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And even for, like, those people you mentioned who maybe even in the 20s where even with Methyl Guard, trimethylglycine, we bring them down to, say, 11, they may need even more. What would you say about SAMe?
SAMe would be a good possibility there, too, because that's part of the pathway that helps with metabolism of homocysteine.
Yeah.
But, you know, for some people, it's a considerable improvement. If you get them down from, like, 24 to 11, sometimes that's as good as it gets. And while they still may be at slightly higher risk, that's a considerable improvement over what their original situation was.
Sure, sure. Okay. So, Judy, Methyl Guard twice a day, and try adding trimethylglycine, and that should do it. That should help.
Follow the numbers.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We have,
numbers,
and incidentally, just circling back. High homocysteine is thought to be a partial risk factor for osteoporosis. It's a minor risk factor. I mean, more major risk factors are sedentary lifestyle, strong family history, very low vitamin D. You know, these are the major risks. But actually, a high homocysteine is associated with higher risk for osteoporosis to some extent. So you can actually enhance your bone density and reduce your risk of fractures by fixing your homocysteine to some extent. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We need to pause because we divide these podcasts into two parts. Time flies when you're having fun, but we're over time for taking a break. When we return, Layla, what's going to be our next question?
My husband has extreme muscle cramps, Charlie horses. What can he do about that?
Okay, we'll tackle that question when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we'll be back with part two. Stay tuned.